following podcast may contain spoilers.
It's all come down to this. We binged, we ranked, we eliminated. But now you will decide. Last movie standing. Combat Jones, it is that time again. Dark movie overlords have given us a very weighty, heavy task. It's not just managing and operating the home video store, which we now currently have available, Top Gun Maverick on German Laserdisc. All of the audio is the German dub. There is no English subtitling, but the crystal clear picture quality, I think, makes it worth it. Plus, since movie theaters don't exist anymore, you don't even have to wait for the Paramount Plus network. We've got it right now in store. You just have to get on a plane and come to Akron, Ohio.
Yep, we've got whole stocks of them. They're flying off the shelf.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
You wouldn't think that Laserdisc would be a good format for home video rental. They're very large. They're very large discs. But you know what we do? We don't put the disc up there. We just basically put the artwork, and then we have a chit. We have a chit system for the laser disc, and so we have the chit, and you go up and you grab your chit, and you bring the chit to the desk, and then I look at the number on the chit, or Combat, or one of our very, very lowly paid teenagers, and they look at the chit, and then they go in a storage room, and they match the chit into where the disc is. Then they bring out the disc, and they actually give it to you in a small suitcase. Obviously, the dark movie overlords, the Not Walt Disney Corporation, are obsessed with profits over almost everything, including our life and sanity. So, it got me thinking, what if we got rid of these teenagers? Because they're already kind of, even though they're lowly paid, we could get someone even lowlier in pay, the derelicts. What if we had a video store entirely operated by a staff of derelicts?
I think that could work. I think, again, they're on the edge of the future. And the whole retro craze, retro...
What's more retro than a hobo?
What's more retro than a hobo? And then you could take yesterday's fashion and equip them with very little cost.
That's exactly right. You give them a bundle, you give them a stick, you give them a handkerchief. They got a little bundle. It's cute.
That's all they need.
And yeah, and you have them walk around, and how can I help you today, sir? What can I help you find with a little bundle and a can of beans? You pay them in bean cans. You
just pay them in bean cans.
Yeah, you pay them, and you know. You
give them some toast, and then, hey, you're being cultured.
Oh, right. That's the money, right? Your pay is a traditional English breakfast, which is very, very cheap, bad bacon. Fatty, fatty bacon and a can of beans and a piece of toast. I love it. I think we're on the same page. I'm going to run this up the flagpole. I'm going to see what management has to say. I think they're going to love it.
I don't see how they could say no.
Philanthropy is the new public relations too. I heard that. So we're not just a video store. We're actually involved in social justice and community transformation by employing derelicts and hobos.
Yeah, we don't rent movie. We rent opportunity.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. And when we're not busy doing that, we're busy creating entertainment by pitting some of the best film critics around the globe against each other and a little thing the dark movie overlords force us to call Last Movie Standing. Here we are. We've talked to people all around the world this season, from YouTubers to podcasters to film critics to childhood friends. And we've brought them all together, and we've given them long, long list of movies, told them to binge them, and said, okay, tell us what the best of the best is. And for the first time ever, Combat Jones, what happened?
First time ever, the short list and the guest list are identical.
The stakes have probably never been higher. And of course, what we do is we binge movies. We rank those movies with film critics, podcasters, influencers, MLM, Hunbots, whoever we can find. We bring them on. If you've got a film take, we want to hear it. We bring them on. We talk about the movies. We review the movies. We rank the movies. I take the best of the season, put it on my short list. They take the best of the season, and they add it to a guest list. And it all culminates into we get a final list, this time one list. And we have film critics come in. We have them do a little kind of snake debate format where they debate which is going to be the most worthy film for film preservation. And this last movie standing, we are joined by two excellent film critics. On my right, which means nothing in the audio format, she's just not just a Swifty. She is swift to defeat her enemies and swift to take her hot takes about movies and put them on the internet. We can't wait to hear what she has to say. She is, of course, known as E-Rock, and she's trying to rock her opponent, who we'll get to in a second. She is not just a contributing writer for their league. It's not just their league. It's really her league, and we're just living in it.
That's right.
She is here to put a hurt in session on our listeners by deleting from history some of their favorite films. It is Erica, back from the days of the Full Monty. How the hell are you, Erica? Are you ready for Last Movie Standing?
Oh, I'm ready. I hope y'all are ready for me.
On my left, which of course also means nothing in an audio format, we have the orchestrator of apocalyptic arpeggios. We have the conductor of cinematic chaos. We have Dr. Chaos himself, hailing from Las Vegas, Nevada, a film composer who's going to bring down a composition of hurt and pain on a lot of these films. We're talking about David Rosen. He pieces movies together, but now he's going to be surgically taking Erica's arguments apart, piece by piece. David motherfucking Rosen's in the house.
I just hope I could live up to a tenth of that, but I will try.
Oh, man.
All right.
This is going to be good. This is going to be great.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
That's going to be great.
All right. So we're all here to try to select the next film that's going to be in the vault. Obviously, the ultimate choice after today's episode is going to go to our glorious binge lords, who are going to see a poll on Twitter at Binge Movies and vote for who has the best movie, who has the best argument, and what one film should be added to our vault for preservation for all time, even beyond the end times. But Combat Jones, tell us what the hell is in the vault as we speak.
As we speak. The first movie I ever selected to the vault was Halloween, the 1978 edition. Want to make sure we make that clear.
Yeah.
Next one was Terminator 2, Judgment Day, followed by Aladdin, and then the summer blockbuster of all time, one of the best ones of all time, Jurassic Park. Then followed by Parasite, which was the first big surprise of this whole endeavor. And then that was followed by Toy Story, which was the time that you completely obliterated my ass, Jason. And then for the first winner of the short verse, the first winner of the shortlist versus guest list was again you, Jason. I'm hearing your name a lot. And that was Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And the last movie to get in, the much debated, much...
A lot of controversy
was Lady Wan taking the throne with Men in Black.
Yeah, Men in Black with an upset over cult favorite Dread 3D, much to the chagrin of male nerds everywhere on the internet.
It's still real to me, damn it!
We've never had this before where the shortlist and guest list were the exact same list. What movies are on just the list this time?
From Marvel Phase 3 Episode 2, Avengers Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
From, holy shit, Assassins 33 AD.
Yeah.
In episode 55, we had Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
He was followed up with the remainder of the best top grossing movies of 1998. Robert with the Crooked Table selected Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And we just heard Richard Jackson select from the Rocky franchise the original Rocky.
Yeah, Richard Jackson from Val Verde Broadcasting on YouTube. Came on after 2 years of much debate and a computer crapping out, and we had to re-record the entire episode. but we had a great time with him all 12 hours we spoke to him about the Rocky franchise. This will not be that long because we're going to get right into it. We're going to get into something we like to call First Cut. All right, we will start with you, Erica. What are the first three films you are automatically removing as an option that you're just eliminating from cinematic history? And give us a little bit on each film why you don't think it makes the cut.
Okay. Well, first of all, you guys know that I am like a true cinephile. Like, I can find appreciation in all films. I don't like to give low scores for films.
Yeah.
Assassin 3333 AD, whatever the fuck you made me watch, is the worst thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
You need to watch that whole list.
Yeah, you need to watch. You need to watch more movies then.
That is the worst thing I have ever seen. It was so bad. It was like, I can't even put into words how bad it was. The writing. Jason, when I went to log this on Letterboxd and I saw that you gave this 4 stars, I almost wanted to contact you to make sure you were well. Like, we need a wellness check. You are not well. You are not okay. You are not okay. It's so bad. It's so bad.
You know what I do? I manage a video store in 2021 and I watch endless movies nonstop. I am not well. I am not well. I haven't been well for years.
I don't think anyone's well, really. But yeah, also, I love the Lady Wan. I respect her. But honey, what is that? Like, what's happening here? Okay, that. So it's gone. It's gone. That is gone forever. It needs to be burned. It needs to, I don't even know. It
needs to be crucified, maybe.
Ooh.
Sure. Okay. And now this is where classic Erica, I'm going to throw a wrench into everything.
Uh-oh.
I just want to know, is this a safe space? Is this a safe space? Do you guys, this a safe? No, you're not even ready for what I'm about to say. You're not ready. No, listen. You guys, this is a safe space, and I'm okay with saying this. I am not a superhero movie kind of person, okay? Let me just say that. Okay. No, listen. Yeah. Let me just say that. It's not my thing. It's cool. I respect it. That's fine. I'm not versed in that world. You sent me this list of films, and I took your list. I wrote it down. I fully wrote the correct film down, Avengers Infinity War, and then I fully watched Avengers Endgame. So I didn't watch the right film. I didn't watch the right. Boy. I still have not seen Avengers Infinity War. So, like, I guess I have to remove it because I can't, like, I was, what, that Endgame is fucking 3 hours long. I was, like, 2.5 hours in, and I was like, is this the right film? I don't even know. And then I check the list and I'm like, oh my God, I was supposed to watch Infinity War. And then I was like actively making the choice to not then go back and watch that one. Just because.
Let me just say, Erica, when this episode drops, your mentions are going to explode. Yes.
I know, that's why I
You have just taken a giant stick and gone up to the Marvel
Hive.
You're in trouble.
I was never going to pick that film anyways, which is why I was like, I'm not even going to go back and watch it. But like, I know everyone loves it. And that's cool. That's cool. It's just not my thing.
The only thing could be worse if you had activated the Zack Snyder Hive. That's the only thing could be worse for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly,
you'd have to.
Honestly,
I just want the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, you'd have to delete your Twitter account.
Here's the thing is that when you don't care, it really doesn't matter. Like, I'm happy for everyone that is like into the superhero thing. I just like, I truly, it's not my thing. Like, I'm happy for you, but like, and I support you. That's why, like, I just wanted to know this is a safe space before I fully confess that
it's
I watched the wrong film.
It's the internet, Erica. You're talking to the internet. The internet is the least safe space in the world.
I'm not afraid.
So what's your last film that you're eliminating then?
Shakespeare in Love. I mean,
whoa!
It was fine.
Well, yeah, that makes
it was
sense.
Fine. It was fine, but I don't need to watch it again.
All right, David, you're up.
So this is going to be really interesting where this turns out because first up, Jason, you know I appreciate a crazy B movie as much as the next guy. And I do love the concept of time traveling assassins going back to kill Jesus. It's a wonderful setup. I think it's just awesome. When I saw it in the list, I was like, oh, I am in. And then I watched it, and this is not a good movie in any way, shape, or form.
When I saw Heidi Montag, I was like, no.
I'm out.
Spencer's in it. Spencer makes an appearance, too. Spencer's got a cameo.
I don't know how this got on the list. So this is number one. This has to be out.
We need a wellness check on Lady Wan. That's what we need. We need a wellness check.
I challenge you watch the other four movies and come back and have that.
How much are you going to pay me? Because I'm not doing it unless I'm getting paid. Like, you could not pay. You would have to pay me to watch that shit again.
Number two on the cut list is Avengers Infinity War. Because, quite frankly, who cares? It's a fun movie. I liked it more than Endgame, that's for sure. But it's just another superhero movie, basically. And it does not need to be preserved for all time. Last up. Shakespeare in Love.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do think it's a good movie, but it's just not for me, and I'm not going to be one to debate that it needs to be preserved for all time. I mean, it's got good performances in it. It's cute. It's got a great score, but it's just not really my thing. And I'm glad I finally saw it, though, because I missed it back in the day when it won all the awards and everything, and I always wondered about it, and now I've seen it, so that's cool.
All right, Combat Jones, before we get started with the actual last movie standing, what are the rules of last movie standing?
The winner of the coin flip gets to choose their advantage. And here's the two advantages. You either get to pick whatever film you want, which this is down the wire. Every single thing, elimination, everything, the same two movies. It's incredible.
It's incredible.
You get to pick that movie, which you have. That's advantage number one. Advantage number two, if you choose to go this route, is you get to say the first words and the last words. Yeah. You essentially get an extra argument because you know exactly what's going on. You're the first they hear and the last they hear. It's because the debate is a snake-style debate. And the first round, person one will give their opening argument. They'll state their case for just their movie. And then person two will do the same. It's 2 minutes uninterrupted. That's round one. Round two is your rebuttal round. Again, this is uninterrupted. You're not, no crosstalk, nothing. Everyone's quiet. You get 90 seconds to basically piece apart their film. Round three is a cross-examination. It's 90 seconds where one competitor is basically putting the other person under a microscope, under that hot lamp, and saying, answer me this about your film. What about this? In round four, we're going to return back to where it's just uninterrupted. You get 1 minute to state your case on why your movie is the actual choice that is the only one that can really be chosen to preserve for all time beyond the end.
We do a little something different here. We have a coin flip. We don't call it heads. We don't call it tails. We call it done. After our patron saint, character actor Kevin Dunn, who's appeared in a many variety of films. Most recently, he was in the TV show Veep. If you recognize him, you're like, oh, that's that guy. Yeah, that's our patron saint. He's Milt Englin from Ghostbusters 2. He is the patron saint of our heart and our show. He is Kevin Dunn, and he is heads. So you call Dunn for heads or DeLuise after Dom DeLuise. For tails, because Dom DeLuise was dragging that wagon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He was a big old boy. He's a big old beef boy. Now, who should go first? We want to keep what the format we did where ladies go first, or what should we do here, Combat?
I think that's the only chivalrous thing to do. Let's go ladies first.
All right, Erica, you're going to call it. Remember, Dunn is heads, DeLuise is tails. Call it in the air. Combat, let her know when to go.
One, two, three.
DeLuise.
It's Deloise! Whoa! She wins!
Woo! Okay, Erica won the coin toss. Erica, do you want first pick of movie, or do you want first word and last word?
I want to pick my movie. I'm going with Saving Private Ryan.
Okay!
Aptly named. Aptly named.
I saw a Rosen wince over there. You did. I saw a Rosen wince. All right. That means you have no other choice, David, but to defend Rocky. It looks like you're going to have to do a little bit of pivoting here.
Yeah. I can defend Rocky. It's going to be tough to fight against Saving Private Ryan, though.
That was my strategy, so good for me.
That means David Rosen gets opening argument, correct, Combat?
Yes, he gets the opening argument. He's up first. He'll have 2 minutes.
Uninterrupted.
Pause. Uninterrupted. You'll see it on the screen. You guys will, obviously, in an audio format. They will not. Right. But you will see, and there will be a beep, so you'll know exactly how much time you have left. Because your time starts now.
Round one.
All right, so Rocky. The thing about Rocky and Sylvester Stallone and this character is it's pretty much synonymous with movies, with cinema. I mean, this is one of the all-time great characters, and it's a fantastic movie, no doubt about it. The series itself, it has its ups and downs, you know, through the years, but there are great ones in the series, even coming down to, you know, the fact that the spinoff of Creed even ended up being great because of the structure and the groundwork that was laid by this movie. It's just such a rich history. Rocky the character is such an interesting character because he's so like silly and ridiculous, and he's just kind of really fun to watch. And some of these other characters too, Polly and Adrian and Mickey, I mean, they are just truly such perfect classic movie archetypes. And then when it comes down to it, I mean, this is, even though the majority of this movie is about the drama and the character work, it is a boxing movie too. It's a sports movie. And those training sequences, the final fight sequence, I mean, it is some of the best ever, you know, put to film of that kind of movie. On top of that, the Bill Conti score, especially that main theme, is truly one of the most iconic, perfect movie themes of all time. I think if nothing else, that theme really cements this movie's place. Aside from that, though, there's a lot of obviously heart to this movie. There's a lot of comedy to this movie. Watching Rocky mumble to his animals had me laughing while I was rewatching this for the first time in many, many years. That stuff never gets old. And of course, all the stuff with Mickey never gets old. It's just such a classic. And like I said, it's iconic, and it is cinema.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Okay, Erica, hold on.
Your time.
Now, this is just your opening argument. You're mm-hmm. just making your case for your film.
Yep.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You ready? Because your time starts now.
Okay. Saving Private Ryan. First of all, it was completely robbed of Best Picture in 1998. I don't know how Shakespeare in Love won over it. That's a whole thing. But it still walked away with 5 Oscar wins: Best Director, Cinematography, Sound, Film Editing, Best Effects. It was also nominated for Best Picture, Actor in Leading Role, Tom Hanks, which we'll get to. Screenplay, Art Direction, Makeup, Score, a lot of other wins and nominations at the Golden Globes, BAFTA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was the highest grossing film in the U.S. in 1998, second grossing worldwide at $481.8 million. And yes, while all of this is air quote important, the real importance here is the story and the themes it conveys. The film is never not engaging. From open to close, it keeps you interested and invested in the mission and the men. And it continues to build and build and build on itself, creating focused and developed tension and drama, and it never lacks an emotional tie-in. This film redefined the combat war drama while still staying true to form. It is just as authentic as it is horrific and chaotic. Saving Private Ryan is a film that captures the uneven conflict of man and war and duty and humanity. Tom Hanks gives a harrowing performance, absolutely unforgettable as Captain Miller, The film is number 26 on the IMDb top rated list, 71 on the AFI top 100, and has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. Tom Hanks is incredible. Steven Spielberg's direction is confident and cannot be matched by any of these other films. And the quality of action and effects still holds up 23 years later. This film, without a doubt, should be preserved for the rest of time.
Two very strong opening arguments there, Combat Jones. What do you think? What stood out to you for both of our competitors?
David Rosen, who brought in the heart, which is in the characters, which is Rocky.
Yeah.
The score, I mean, that's iconic. Everyone, I think, has run up those steps whenever they visit Philadelphia. I know I did. I've got a picture of it. But then you look at, you know, what Erica said about the quality of film that Saving Private Ryan is, and how many awards it won, and the fact that maybe it didn't get Best Picture, but maybe it deserves to be the Best Picture here, right? So she makes some really good arguments about the technicality and also the heart of what it means to be at war. So I think they both did a great job of highlighting the strengths of their film.
Yeah, but listen, this is maybe the tightest race between two films we've ever had. Yeah. I don't envy both of our competitors. So we're going to see what they do in the rebuttal section, because this is where we're going to get into the nitty gritty. I think this one is truly going to come down to who has the best argument. So we're going to see who can really drill down and draw out why their movie is worthy of preservation and the other one isn't. Starting next with our rebuttal. Who's up in the rebuttal, Combat?
Erica is up in the rebuttal. She gets 90 seconds to refute the merits of Rocky.
Oh boy, I don't envy you.
No, and internet, please be nice. Like, be kind.
Rewind.
Be kind. Please rewind. So, Erica, if you're ready, your time starts now.
Round two.
Look, Rocky is, yes, it's iconic. I really, up until I just did a rewatch last night and today of both Saving Private Ryan and Rocky, I was like, which way am I going to go? Rocky is, like David said, it is cinema. It is iconic. There are so many notable things that people know, even if they've never seen the film. But I was thinking about it, and Rocky, not the person, just the film overall, sometimes lulls. It's kind of boring, you know, just there's some parts that are just not engaging. Saving Private Ryan is completely engaging the entire time. I feel like Rocky is fantastic for showing that, you know, underdog every man kind of story. I love the development between him and Adrian, but I want it, when I was watching it this time, I want it more. Like, it doesn't give me enough of that underdog story. I get that he's an underdog just because I get it, right? But, like, I wanted more development from that. I think it's an iconic sports film. It's very American. But it was kind of, there was some parts that I was just, like, kind of bored. Saving Private Ryan is super, super exciting. Rocky it was fine. I don't need to watch it again anytime soon. Oh, that was tough. That was tough. I do like Rocky. I do.
This is why we do it. It's a tough task, but it's necessary. And David, it's necessary for you to take apart Saving Private Ryan. And your time starts now.
So I think the only way I could really even try to attack the legacy of Saving Private Ryan is to not talk about the movie itself, but talk about the players involved. The number one thing being Steven Spielberg's trajectory from here going forward. Steven Spielberg, you know, there's no way to deny that he's one of the all-time great filmmakers. But here is where I don't want to say he got lazy necessarily, but definitely his career path started kind of getting a lot more shaky from here going forward. I would also say that the same for Tom Hanks. I'd say for some of the smaller players, I mean, come on, like Tom Sizemore, Vin Diesel, like some of these people certainly didn't go on to have the careers that maybe this film would have suggested. And then on top of that, the war genre in general. This movie definitely did a lot of interesting new things with the genre, which has been around since the beginning of movies. But since this movie came out, has it continued to grow or to evolve in any kind of way? I don't really think so. I think that this movie came out, everyone loved it and said, well, let's just keep doing that when we're going to make a war movie. And so I think it kind of lent itself to a little bit of resting on your laurels for a lot of people involved with Hollywood, with filmmaking. And that's kind of the main problem with its legacy, I would say.
Wow. Okay. Very tough here, because I think, you know, what David closed up with there was he's leaning into what film has the bigger and superior legacy. And when we're thinking about preservation for all time, we're essentially deciding, hey, that which is in the vault is a representative of not just individual good movies, but aspects of the canon of film. And it's, you know, when you were dealing with a movie, what's also the legacy of the movie? Because you're kind of putting that into the vault. I think he did a good job of hammering down, like, which one has the better legacy? Rocky, which, you know, has a lot more films, obviously, and so forth and so on. But then Erica, she came at it was like, maybe Rocky because of the era of which it's made, or maybe because of the lower budget, or not as good of a filmmaker. It has maybe some lulls and isn't as engaging as a Spielbergian film. I think those are both equally valid arguments.
They're tough. Yeah, because you're looking at the weight of the reach of the movie, and you're looking at the quality of the movie. We're getting to this point of the competition, you got to look at it with a microscope, and every little blemish could be the reason it's not in.
Speaking of microscopic, here we are. It's time for cross-examination. Who gets to go first, and who's going to be in the stand under the hot microscope of their opponent?
David, you get to fire first, and you have 90 seconds to ask your questions. Erica, you'll be responding to his questions. If time runs up and you're still answering, that's okay. You can go over that time to complete your answer.
A few seconds.
Thanks for saying that, because you know how I am. I'll just talk forever. Thanks.
And David, your litigation starts.
Jesus Christ.
Starts now.
Round three.
So with Saving Private Ryan, I think the big questions that need to be answered as to whether or not this is something that deserves to be preserved is this a movie you see yourself really revisiting time and time again? Because it is drawn out. It is relatively slow for the most part, going through this story of trying to find this guy. It also is incredibly upsetting, because, you know, the way things, especially the way things have been the last, you know, these years since this movie came out, with politics and everything like that, it's like, do we want to look at this kind of patriotism in a way where it's like kind of it can do no wrong? And are we okay with really like watching that without any hint of an undercurrent that this is kind of a little bit of bullshit, the reason why this war is happening and the reason that this guy is getting singled out the way he's getting singled out? Does that make us mad watching this movie? Should it make us mad watching this movie? So I think that is like the main question with Saving Private Ryan, with its continued in the public conscious. Is that a problem for the movie?
All right, Erica, we've run out of time here, so we're going to give you...
Oh, sorry, Erica.
We're going to give you about 45 seconds to respond.
So my thing to answer your question is, don't you want to watch a film that's going to make you feel something? I think when you watch something, especially like this, that's about, again, that thing I said about the unevenness of conflict of man and war, right? These men... it's a very personal story, I think. Looking at these men that are dealing with this issue about what they think is right and wrong, or what they, you know, how they see war, but they have to do this thing, right? And I think that's something that, you know, you're saying, looking back at like American politics and war and the way our military goes, you know, that's, I think, really captured in this film. I think there is a lot of conflict. I don't think it's propaganda-ish. I think it's showing how real and horrific war is.
All right, that means Erica, you become the prosecutor, and David gets his turn on the stand, has to go under the hot lights of your cross-examination. Are you ready?
Yeah, Erica, I'm ready.
Erica, you can fire your shots now.
David, when you first watched Rocky, did you know what was going to happen? Was it predictable?
I would say yes. It definitely is predictable what's going to happen.
Do you think that lessens the value of the film?
I don't, because of the strong character work and the fact that we get to know all these people so damn well.
How do you think we know them so well? I feel like they're kind of hard to get to know, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that these are a kind of archetype from a very specific time in a very specific place. That East Coast 70s kind of persona, the tough guy, they're kind of silly in retrospect, but they certainly thought they were the coolest back then. And it's a very interesting character, and they're really captured in this.
Hmm. I thought it lacked in story development, but I won't get into that, or character development, I should say, not story. But I think it's super predictable. And, you know, when I'm watching something, I want to follow along and not really know what's going to happen next. So do you think it, with the predictability, do you think it still delivers?
I think that that's kind of intrinsic to the sports movie genre, you know? And by the way, sorry, I didn't realize we just go back and forth within
that's
1:30.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah. Right.
That's okay.
It's okay.
That's okay.
Here's what I think's interesting, Combat. They're both got into the predictability of Rocky. Rocky's most famous for being kind of unpredictable because he doesn't win in the end. Rocky won, yeah. he loses, which was a breaking of the sports formula. So that's an interesting point. Will our audience deduct some points for that argument because he didn't win? It's not the traditional sports
ending. But did we really think he was going to win? Like, I don't think, that's not what I meant. I meant like the formula of the plot. Like, he's the underdog.
The Mighty Ducks won.
Okay.
Well, the underdog usually wins.
that's what I mean, where it's not, I don't really think it's that developed of a character or a story because of that. Okay, maybe I should just stop. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I realized I was just going off.
You're already going into your clothes.
But I think to your point, Jason, if you're late to Rocky and saw Creed and maybe other films and things like that, up to that point, every good guy won. Even to the point where what's that movie? Dirty Deeds makes a joke about you bet against Rocky and Rocky III.
Right.
It became known after that that the good guy always wins.
Right.
So it is a little unpredictable, but if you go into it knowing about it, I could see where you would have that.
Its own
popularity almost detracts from the surprise that it hit.
That's where it's going to be interesting, if where the audience, when they get to Final Cut and they have to vote and choose which movie is going to be last movie standing, how are they going to interpret? Because ultimately all this comes down to the listeners and those voting on film Twitter.
Yeah.
And what do they think is predictable? Are they going to think of Rocky subverting expectations? Or are they going to think of the legacy of Rocky, which is what you're touching on, which is kind of that predictability? Will they let the later legacy of Rocky either overshadow for the good or for the negative the original Rocky? We're going to find out. Erica, I believe you're up. This is your closing argument, uninterrupted. You get to just tell us for 1 minute, 60 seconds, why your movie is the most worthy of preservation and why they should forget about Rocky and why they should vote for you and to add Saving Private Ryan to the vault.
And Erica, your time starts now.
Final round.
Okay, really quick. I just want to say that I think Rocky's legacy is what makes it bigger than what it actually is. I don't think it's when you rewatch it, I don't think its legacy actually lives up to what people make it out to be. That being said, I think Saving Private Ryan is completely unforgettable. I think it's unpredictable when you first watch it. It has you on the edge of your seat. It stays true to like the war drama combat form while also being completely innovative and new and fresh. Tom Hanks is incredible. It's fucking Steven Spielberg. Let's be real. They both should be preserved for the rest of time. Yes, it is a long film, but I don't think that detracts anything from it. You are completely engaged the entire time. There's parts where you want to yell at the screen and tell that little bitch on the stairs to fucking do something. So I think this is something that should last forever.
David, your closing arguments.
You get last word, buddy.
Right.
You get last word. This is the advantage you have. Take advantage of it because it starts now.
All right. I would be remiss to not say that Saving Private Ryan is a perfect movie, but Rocky is absolutely iconic. It is cinema. Like I said earlier, this is a movie that when you think of movies, Rocky is one of the top of all time. It is one of the all-time characters, one of the all-time movies, one of the all-time series. This is so just intertwined with the history of cinema that I think it has to be preserved for all time in this vault. And so just in closing, Rocky is a movie. It's an underdog movie, and I think it's the underdog choice in this competition here, and so I think that's why people should vote for it.
All right, he's yielding the last 9 seconds. Those were closing arguments. Ooh, this is tough.
This one's hard.
Very hard.
I've been unofficially scoring the rounds as we've been going, and I'll reveal that as when we reveal the winner of how I would have scored this, of who I thought won the argument. Here's what's really difficult here, right? Combat, when we had the Rocky episode with Richard Jackson, we both said that really, you know, Rocky is maybe the greatest film protagonist of all time. One of. He's in the Mount Rushmore of all-time great movie protagonist. Period, beloved as a character, so forth and so on. But on our Saving Private Ryan episode with Robert Yanez Jr. from Crooked Table, I asked the question, is Saving Private Ryan Spielberg's last great movie?
Yeah.
And so Spielberg's already in with Jurassic Park. Which is maybe one of his best popcorn movie of all time. That and Jaws, I'm not really sure, but yeah. Probably Jurassic Park with the innovation of CGI, hence why it's in. So it's really what you're talking about is one of the all-time great directors versus one of the all-time great characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the all-time great franchises versus one of the all-time great filmmakers. So Where the audience lands, I will have no clue. Sometimes I think I know, like, they'll probably vote this way. This time, I have no clue.
I can't speak objectively. I've got rose-colored glasses on one of these films, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut until it comes out. But
Shakespeare in Love?
No, Assassin's
Assassin 33 AD? Yeah. Listen, any movie that has the balls to rip off the Terminator and set it in the Gospels is amazing. And then Avengers Endgame it, where they fuck with the timeline of Jesus Christ so much that they write themselves into the Gospels accidentally, and they quote the Passion of the Christ to the Christ. And he's like, what?
That's the best part of the movie.
And when the guy says to him, you can't die, Jesus. Like, well, if I don't die, your sins won't be forgiven. He's like, oh, go ahead then, Lord.
Well, go ahead. And do your thing. You do you.
He pushes him to his death.
You do you, Jesus.
And then
did she have an English accent?
The same guy's death scene is that same guy. His death scene is like, you think there'll be beer in heaven? For you,
David and I both got rid of this film so we wouldn't have to fucking talk about it. Right? I don't want to hear you both talk about this film. It's so awful. Not even because of the Jesus stuff. I don't even care about that shit. It was just a terrible film. It was terrible. I could have made a better film with no budget, no anything.
Oh my God.
It was horrific. It was horrific so filmmaking.
You are not familiar with the works of Gino Malotti.
Jason, what's the password?
We're gonna Satan's a little bitch.
That's right. We quoted a Christian movie right there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you didn't have to hear.
Yeah,
about.
Satan's a little bitch was in a quasi. Yeah, we're gonna have to send you a link to Domination of the Becoming for you to watch, and you'll know why Assassin 33 AD.
If you skip that episode, you got to go back and listen to it.
I'll go back and listen to it.
You got to.
Yeah, there you go. We've had First Cut, we've had Last Movie Standing, now it's time for Final Cut. You, the audience, you are binge lords, you get Final Cut. You are going to go on Twitter to twitter.com/bingemovies. You're going to find us at Binge Movies. You're going to see a poll up when this episode drops. We're going to have it up for a few days. You're going to get to vote. Please retweet the vote. Get as many people voting as possible because both of these movies are significant and only one can be left standing. There can be only one that's going to be added to the vault to be preserved for all time. And then when the apocalypse comes, the rest will burn forever in an eternal cinematic lake of fire.
Without getting too heavy about it, because some of you can't handle it. Some of you can that are spiritual and some of you aren't too spiritual.
Where can we find you guys? Erica, let's start with you. Where are you at? Where are you writing right now? Where have you been? You're all over the place. What are you up to?
So, of course, you can follow me at E-Rock Reviews on Twitter and find all my stuff there. I have a link tree in my bio that shows you everywhere that I write. Their League, In Session, and CRP Writes. Yeah, I'm just writing all those places. I've been on some other podcasts. So, again, just watch my Twitter to see where I'm at.
Okay, David, what about you? Where can we find you?
Well, you can check out Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. We also have a Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies. And you should check out the episode that Jace guested on, where we talked about the awesome Bloody Hell.
All right. Well, you guys both did an excellent job. Thank you for doing this. We had a blast. I'm sure this is going to end up leading to much controversy with our binge lords online. Mm-hmm. And I asked our patron saint to have mercy on both of your mentions after this drops. So that name. Yeah. Combat Jones, what do you think? What are your final thoughts about this one? And what do you think the binge lords are going to do?
Man, see, I don't know. I know where I stand on it. And that's because, I mean, I said I wouldn't say, but I'm a liar. I grew up with Rocky. Like, Rocky was part of my life. Like, I grew up, like, every time I had a race, I would listen to his soundtrack. Every time, he's like in my DNA, which is one of the oddest things I've ever said, which is surprising. So, like, it's hard for me to look at this objectively. But at the same point, I was questioning that, Eric, as you were talking, just with all the points that you made and how good of a film Saving Private Ryan
people
is.
People there, don't vote on nostalgia. Vote on the better film.
I think everybody out there listening.
Just listen to you.
I think everybody out there listening has a little Rocky Balboa inside
of
them.
Of course. You know?
They got a little they got a little Italian stallion up inside their guts.
I get it.
Some more than others.
Yeah.
Every time
some
I
more
talk
than
to
others.
My
pet. That's exactly right. So until next time, binge on and make sure to vote.